We are not, as a nation, going to be able to just keep on printing money. So at some point, we're also going to have to make some long-term decisions in terms of fiscal responsibility. And not all of those choices are going to be popular.
Hello and welcome to the Planet Money Podcast. I'm Adam Davidson. It's Tuesday, December 2nd at 4:48 p.m. here in New York. And today we're going to be kicking off our new theme of the week, or theme for the next few days, which is, what is a job and where do jobs come from and where do they go? Obviously, an extension of our theme last week. What is money? Where did it come from? Where did it go? And today we're actually starting with something that is personally very relevant. It is a conversation with my cousin, DJ. Really, my cousin. But first, let's do a Planet Money indicator. We got a few emails from listeners saying, hey, what happened to the TED spread? You guys used to always talk about the TED spread, and you really haven't talked about it lately. Just a quick reminder, the TED spread is a way that you can measure sort of the global anxiety level. If the U.S. government wants to borrow money, it issues treasury bonds or treasury bills. And generally, the U.S. government is seen as the safest investment in the world. So they don't have to pay a lot if they're going to borrow money from someone. They don't have to pay a lot of interest. Banks are historically seen as sort of the second safest thing. So usually they don't pay very much more than the U.S. government does. But over the last few months, as the confidence in banks has collapsed, so the TED spread has gone way up because people with money, and I'm talking about millions or even billions of dollars to invest, are saying to banks, hey, you got to pay a lot of money for me to lend you my money because I don't trust you. I'm sending my money to the U.S. government. So the TED spread sort of measures that distance. Historically, it's been around 0.2, 0.5, something like that, very low numbers. It's around 2.16 right now. It was up very close to 5%. That's unbelievable. I think if you asked anyone in the financial system, would it ever reach 5%? If you asked them that 2 years ago, they would have said, no, there's no way it would. But it did, and it's been going down. So we should be happy that it's going down. But it's kind of stopped a few weeks ago and has just bounced around the 2% level. And really, that's way higher than we want to see it. So today's indicator is the TED spread. But getting to our story of the day. So my cousin, Dean Largis Jr., we call him DJ, lives where much of my family lives in around Worcester, Massachusetts, central Massachusetts. And for years, as I have been reporting about the global economy, I always think about DJ because I keep learning that education and is so important if you want to stay competitive in this economy. And DJ, my cousin, dropped out of college. And I get really mad at him and say, DJ, you got to go to college. You got to get an education. The global economy is coming your way. DJ, you know, he's a great kid, never listens to me. So I thought maybe he would listen to my friend Pietra Rivoli. She's a professor of finance and international business at the McDonough School of Business, Georgetown University. And as you'll see, as this conversation gets going, it was actually me who learned the most and DJ who turned out to be more right than I was. DJ, let's start with you. What are you, 25?
Yeah, getting up there.
Yeah. You graduated high school, and then you went to Quinsigamond Community College right there in Worcester, right?
That's right.
And what happened then?
I went for about 2 weeks and decided it was time to tell my father that I never wanted to go in the first place, and I don't want to be here now, so I'm going to have to drop out.
Now, you told me that you actually wished you had dropped out earlier in your life.
Yeah, but the high school experience, I wouldn't want to take away from that. But if I had more time to work and make money then, I would have rather have done that.
You mean not gone to high school and made money from 14 or 15?
Yeah, but still, the high school experience was definitely worth it. But
because you were a big football star and all the girls loved you.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah. What do you think your life is going to be like as a guy with a high school degree but no advanced education?
I'm going to work a hands-on construction job for the rest of my life and have sore body parts every day.
What are you doing now?
I work for Henkels & McCoy. We do telecommunications. It's pretty much a outside construction.
And now before that, you were a bodyguard or a bouncer at a strip club?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to go into details, but yes, I did a little of that.
What was it, Crazy Girls? What's the name?
No, that's Centerfolds.
Centerfolds, right. And what do you think? Like, when you look at our uncles, for example, they didn't go to college, and they've done pretty well, right?
Kenny's a truck driver, and Phil is a connoisseur.
A connoisseur?
If you know him, that would be really funny.
That's very funny. And then when you look at our – I mean, I'm just saying – from where you're sitting, if you looked around our family, at our grandfather, Pepe, he didn't go to college. He had a good life. He owned his own house. He had a car. He had a vacation home, or at least a vacation
trailer.
Yeah. And he was a truck dispatcher, you know. But here's what I want to say to you. I think that you don't understand that the world has changed from the world that our uncles and grandparents lived in, and that your future will be much worse if you don't go to college. And I want Pietra to tell me if I'm right.
You know, Adam, I'm not sure you are. After I've listened to DJ and hear a little bit about all he's done in his 25 years, a lot of people historically didn't go to college, worked in kind of low-skill manufacturing jobs. And in the global economy today, those are exactly the jobs that have disappeared, or some people say moved, to China and Mexico and so forth. So if you worked in one of those old textile factories in Massachusetts, and the textile factory closed, then you're kind of out of luck without a college degree. But if you listen to DJ's history, let's see, he's a bouncer at a strip club. He's putting up telecom equipment. He works on construction sites. You know, these are all careers or jobs that, you know, we would say are, the technical term would be they're non-tradable. So in other words, that bouncer job is not moving to China. And in fact, the strippers inside, their job's not moving to China either. And if I listen to some of your family history, you know, there's a lot of jobs in that history that aren't moving too. Truck drivers, those aren't going to China, for example. You know, these jobs aren't going to disappear. And it sounds like DJ's developing a number of those.
Thanks.
Well, I'm very frustrated because I thought that Pietra and I would beat up on DJ. Now the two of you are siding up against me.
All right.
But let me ask. There's a couple thoughts I have. You can't see DJ, but he's a tall, strong guy.
Okay.
While
I hear it in his voice.
Yeah. I mean, when we were kids, I was able to beat him up, but now I try and avoid that. 20 years ago, 50 years ago, there would have been a lot of jobs for big, strong guys. Now there are fewer. So the big, strong guys who are competing with DJ, who might have gone into, say, a textile plant or an auto plant or a machine tools plant, they're now competing for the ditch digging jobs and the stripper jobs, right? So DJ might make less money.
I think that's probably a fair prediction as well. But, you know, you have to say, I have to ask DJ, you know, I bet he has more to offer the global economy than just his big, strong body, right? I mean,
so yeah, I have a brain.
All big, hunky guys are not alike. And somebody on that construction site that DJ's working is going to work their way up to supervisor and foreman and so forth and so on. And some will not, right? And, you know, that's going to be a function of, you know, what the big, strong guys have going for them besides their big, strong body.
Yeah, I do have more to offer. I can do landscaping. I can do electrical work. What else? Woodwork. I can do cabinets.
And you're a really good people person.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I could see you as a leader.
I'm a social butterfly.
Yeah.
These are great skills in, you know, in any economy.
Yeah, the biggest thing is being able to present yourself and represent yourself in front of anyone.
Yeah,
you can get any job as long as you have the good background and people like you and you know people. The biggest thing is knowing people, though.
And you, I mean, that's one thing is our family, in that part of central Massachusetts, our family knows everybody.
Yeah, So that has helped me a great deal.
Yeah. Now, Pietra, is part of it that DJ is in central Massachusetts that had its hollowing out of manufacturing 50 years ago? If he was in Detroit today, he might be in much worse shape. Is that right?
Sure. The guys I worry about actually are not people who sound like DJ. The guys I worry about are the guys who, you know, have worked in that same plant, doing more or less the same job in the auto factory for 30 years, and now the plant closes, and now what have they got? That I think is a bigger challenge. You know, a lot of people who grew up in DJ's generation, you know, they're computer literate, right? That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing, you know, that the 50-year-old worker at the auto plant may not have. So if you say, okay, I can write a clear sentence, I can operate a computer, so forth and so on, you have right there a whole lot more opportunities than the 50-year-old guy in Detroit. They're much more at risk in this global economy than the younger folks.
I mean, when we talk about, when you hear that phrase, a skilled worker or a skilled workforce, your mind might run to people with law degrees or doctors, but it sounds like what you're saying is DJ counts as a skilled worker.
You know, do you know how hard it is? You know how many lawyers within, you know, probably 2 miles of my house, I don't know how many people I have. I got thousands of lawyers, and I don't think I have a single person that I'd trust the wiring in my house to. You know? So it does. The one that jumped out at me was when he said that he could do electricity. I thought, okay, maybe I can call him later, you know?
But I am colorblind, so that does
pose
a problem.
Yeah. Okay, but you'd still be colorblind if you had gone to college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That can't change. You can't learn colors.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, in my generation, the guys, who say dropped out of high school, I think by the time they were 25, you know, they had a lot fewer experiences than you've already had. So it was traditional, for example, in Pittsburgh, to drop out of high school and go right into the steel mill. It was traditional in North Carolina to drop out of high school and go right into the textile mill. And you'd kind of stay, they kind of stay there. But it sounds to me like you've done a variety of things.
Yeah, because too much of one thing is not good at all.
So even though maybe this wasn't your intent, you know, you are diversifying your skills in a way that I don't think was as common in the older days.
So this is, I got to say, this is a pretty intense conversation for me because I feel like I am, through Pietra's eyes, I guess, learning to see the many, many skills and abilities that DJ has. You know, I grew up in Manhattan. I did go to college. I've been a bookish guy and I am a reporter. I'm not, you know, I've not earned any money with my physical body. And I guess, you know, frankly, like a lot of people, I look down on manual labor.
So can you do it, Adam?
Certainly not.
Well,
no.
Here you go. I mean, so if so the guys that were just trying to patch our phone together, you know, could you have done that?
No.
I mean, I couldn't have. So I don't know. I mean, I think we all need each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we learn about? I mean, I thought what we were going to learn in this conversation, and it turns out I was totally wrong. What I thought we were going to learn is
that I was wrong.
That DJ's wrong, I'm right, and he should go to college. And that's just obvious, and his life is going to get worse and worse. That is clearly not what we've learned. I got to say, I think I'm the one who learned the most from this conversation. I feel like I can't wait to see DJ and treat him with my newfound respect.
Nice.
Maybe we should, well, like I say, maybe we should just talk every couple of years. And
yeah, and see and follow his progress. I'd like to do that.
That would be
and
really
ours,
nice.
And ours, Adam.
Yeah.
Our
right, and
too,
ours,
right.
Right, when my job is outsourced and DJ has a really good construction gig and I'm trying really hard to get him to hire me.
You're already hired.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. This was really, really fun.
That was fun. Nice meeting you, DJ.
It was fun for me. You too.
Okay, take care.
Great.
Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Okay, so that's going to do it for us here today at Planet Money. Keep checking in with us on our blog. That's npr.org/money. send us your letters and your questions. And we really love it when you send photographs. I mean, some people are just taking their, you know, their cell phone and taking a quick picture of something in their neighborhood that gives us a signpost of how the economy is doing in your area. That is really helpful. I'm Adam Davidson. Thank you for listening. It's a suicide.